Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody, thank you. As this morning, Adam Beasley, nice enough to join us from Pro Football Network. Bees, how you doing this morning?
Joe, it's game day.
Man, you can't beat it. And you got to win this game. First of all, as you guys been talking about, it's against a team that's a playoff team. They're in your division. You can't, if you're going to win the AFC East, they can't beat you twice. You need to get them at home. Their team looks a lot different to me in a lot of different places. I just think tonight, especially early on here, we get our Thursday night game. I think that the best time early in the season. And now we just, you know, Tua talked about, you got to go out and do it. What are your thoughts on tonight's game and how do you feel about it?
Yeah, it's never set up better for them to do it than right now, to your point. I know Raheem Mostert's not going to play, and there's some questions about Devon Achane. But a short week, massive turnover to the Bills, particularly on defense. Their defense did not look great last week against Kyler. The Dolphins coming off a really, really thrilling and uplifting victory, and it showed their grit and their determination and their they didn't fold. It's got to be now. The Dolphins have a long, long history of having these marquee games in prime time against a team that they got to get past to get to where they want to go. And time again, they've lost those games. And, certainly they've had some success in prime time, but by and large, all these games that it feels like you get up for, they lay an egg. It just cannot happen tonight.
So, HN, obviously, either way, not going to be 100%. I just wonder, Jeff Wilson, obviously, is going to get some carries. You think Jalen Wright tonight, we see him get 10-plus carries? Could you see that or touches tonight?
10-plus seems like a lot because I still think they're going to work Achane and Jeff Wilson. I mean, look, that running game did nothing until Wilson entered the game, and it was wild. I mean, I know Anthony Weaver called Jalen Phillips the Mariano Rivera of the Dolphins, but Jeff Wilson was the closer last week. Jacksonville had been out there gassed, being in the sun all day long. Basically, the entire second half they were on the field. The Jaguars' offense really did not much, aside from that one drive that ended in a fumble. Wilson was the closer. I mean, they wore down, and then he came in fresh. Obviously, that dynamic is going to be different now with Mostert out. But I would say the depth chart we saw last week with Achane getting a ton of snaps, Wilson the primary backup to the top two, and then obviously Wright not doing anything because inactive. That's still probably the depth chart going a week forward. There'll be some. I would imagine there'll be some work for Wright, but 5, 6, 7. Carries, maybe a catch or two. That's probably what I'm expecting.
Adam, heavy load again for Tyreek Hill and Waddle, both having really good games last week. We need to get something out of a third wide receiver. I know we're a little shorthanded there right now. And also, if somebody would have told me last week, maybe the biggest surprise, the tight end position is going to have two catches for 13 yards, including Durham Smythe, no catches. Got to get more. Where's it going to come from? We need another guy besides Achane and Waddle and Hill to carry the passing game. Where's it come from?
Yeah, I mean, that's been the question all offseason. We thought, of course, Odell would be that guy, and he might be in a few weeks. We don't know. It sounds like his rehab's going well. But you saw how bad that offense was when they threw to Durham Smythe and they threw to Braxton Berrios last week. I mean, a bunch of drops, things just look completely out of sorts. That's not what they do. And I don't know who it is going to be that's going to step up. It's not going to be Malik Washington this week. He's down again with a quad. Maybe they pull up somebody different than Robbie Chosen off of, the practice squad. We'll see what their elevation situation looks like in a few hours. But I'm with you. The hard answer is I don't know who it'll be because I mean, we've seen all these guys already. Eric Uzakama, you know, they're just really, really thin at wide receiver right now. So I think that's why Achan was, you know, he was basically their slot last week. Catches with seven. So I think they've kind of found their number three wide receiver just in the meantime. So long as Achan's healthy enough to play, it's him. And, you know, to your point about who carries the ball then, yes, I think they're still going to do some of the two running back stuff they did last week, but really it's just going to be Achan as the slot receiver.
Heavy dose last week. I mean, he didn't go away from it. Heavy dose of screens to the outside with linemen pulling to get out in front and the wide receivers blocking and the tight ends blocking. Think more of that? Is that just something, hey, we do, we're going to execute, and you got to stop it? Or do you expect as much as we saw a week ago?
I'm sure it'll be part of the game plan, but look, when you go up against a defense that has arguably its best player, I mean, particularly with Matt Milano hurt and Teron Johnson out, you should attack the middle of the field deep, right? You got to find where that weakness is and exploit it and do whatever you can to spread those guys out. Because, I mean, let's be honest, that Bills defense is not very good. I know they got it together at the end of last season. They've had a ton of turnover. A couple of those guys from the Dolphins, and Jordan Poyer and Saron Neal. I think there's going to be a fair amount of points scored. We know Josh Allen's going to bring it against this team. He always does. But I'm not, like, there have been years that I'm like, oh, man, this is a bad matchup for the Dolphins. I don't see that tonight. I think the Bills' defense can be exploited. It was at times last week by the Cardinals. Look, and even on the flip side, too, is that Bills' defense went up against a pretty bad – I mean, that Bills' offense went up against a pretty bad Cardinals' defense. I think the Dolphins are better on both sides of the football than Arizona was. And look, the Bills had to come back in a big way at home to win that game. That's why I picked the Dolphins. I just think they're a more talented team playing at home in a short week. I don't see the Bills winning this game.
I tell you what, if I'm a safety, whether it's DeMar Hamlin or Taylor Rapp or any of those other guys, they better be ready to do some running, whether it's deep crossing routes or takeoffs, deep post patterns, that they will get in one bad step, and they're going to be in the same problem we've seen everybody else get in by getting caught looking at the quarterback too long or not sure what route somebody's going to run when they got a little extra time. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. Hey, by the way, the other story you kind of mentioned, Jalen Phillips, man, what, you know, I got it. What a game, man. He played a lot more than I thought, and he looked a lot of pressures, got the sack late in the game. I was pleasantly surprised on where he is at this point. I didn't expect it.
No, 100%. I don't know what more you could have asked from the guy. I know the first half he was kind of quiet, maybe shaking off the rust a little bit, making sure that Achilles felt like it was supposed to feel in the first game action he's had since he tore it. But that second half was a masterclass, right? That's the Jalen Phillips that we've seen develop here in the last few years. And he looked like that dude. He looked like the same guy he was before he got hurt in New York. And hugely encouraging for them. The Dolphins didn't get a ton out of Chop Robinson. I know Emmanuel Agba got a few pressures and a sack, so he was disruptive. But they don't win that game without Jalen Phillips doing what he did late. And I think you really can't say enough about the rehab he's gone through and just the freak he is physically. That 10 months after shredding his Achilles is out there looking all world.
Hey, Bees, you know, the other thing is our two tackles played really well. Teron Armstead and Austin Jackson, I see, got great grades last week. It looked like they really played well, both tackle positions. It's a nice start for both those guys. Obviously, they need to stay healthy and stuff, but it was good to see. The O-line's taking a little bit of a beating here from everybody in the media, and, of course, Chris Greer, you know, letting everybody know that when he's with Mike that you guys are a bunch of dumbasses for saying that stuff. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, we are for many reasons, not just that.
No, we're all in that. That's all right.
Yeah, so Armstead, fantastic. Austin Jackson, really good. Let's give some flowers to Liam Eichenberg. I mean, you look at how he did. Certainly they had some trouble running the ball in the first half. But Tua, I one or two times sack and really wasn't under duress the entire day. They hung in there, and against a really good, by the way, we should say it's a really good Jaguars front. I would argue that the front they won against on Sunday is better than what they're going to see today. I think those two edge rushers they have in Jacksonville are as good as anybody in the league. And, yeah, I know, obviously, that Greg Rousseau and A.J. Evanescence have had some success against the Dolphins, but having those two tackles, and in particular Tron Armstead, he really is a difference maker for that offensive line. Everything looks better when he's out there. Keeping him healthy, I think, is among the most important things for this team. I think, what did he play, like, 10, 11 games last year, whatever it was, missed a good chunk of the season.
10 games, yeah.
Yep, and their productivity went down when he was out. They need him to be on the field, stay healthy. They managed him really well during the summer. He came into the season feeling fresh. Knock on wood, he avoids the freak injury, and this offense could be really good.
Hey, I got to ask you, from Tyreek Steele talking about what happened before the game, 3 hours before the game yesterday, the guys, as we found out after the game and after everything's come out, a lot of guys were there to watch what happened. You think it affected? Because I thought the team looked really sluggish and off to start the game. And I know Calais got off to a great start. He has a sack and a tackle for loss to start the game. But I felt like a lot of guys. You think guys are affected by what took place before the game?
Certainly, it's possible. I can't get inside all their minds. Honestly, Joe, they just look rusty. It looked like they didn't practice enough together, which is probably true.
You go back more to the preseason stuff then. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No.
Yeah. I mean, they had, 11 snaps in the preseason together. It seemed like every week there's a different wide receiver that was out. They just really didn't have time, that group. You didn't see Aaron Brewer until the week of the game.
That's true.
A lot of moving parts. So, certainly, I think the Tyreek situation is incredible that he was able to do what he was able to do in the second half. I mean, absolutely remarkable that a dude who was in handcuffs unjustly, as we saw when the body cam footage came out, but guy was in handcuffs, getting pinned to his face to the asphalt and thrown to the ground by his neck and all that, was able to go for, 7 for 130 and a touchdown, had one of the biggest plays of the week in all the NFL, just a signature moment. I put this on Twitter. I mean, you've been around a lot longer than I have, and you've seen a ton of Dolphins football. I've covered this team since 2012, and I struggle at times 2-3 years out to really have a clear memory of a lot of the games that I've covered. I will not forget Sunday until I die.
No, never. Oh, my God.
That is a game for so many different reasons. The fact that, obviously, Tyreek pregame, them looking like complete garbage in the first half, having that, that peanut punch fumble force by Javon Holland, who we haven't talked about yet, and then, Tua getting it done, Jason Sanders getting redemption after missing the kick. Like, that's the reason you watch sports, man. Games like that are the reason you watch sports and you get engaged in it. And, I do think it bodes well. I mean, it's 1 out of 17, but I do think it bodes well for the DNA of this team. And, we talked at length about, Tyreek saying after the Chiefs games that they can't be a bunch of front runners. And with a Jordan Poyer who said, they kind of had a reputation, a team that would fold. There is no fold in that team. And, you heard the stories of Tua in the locker room getting everybody's ass and all that. I think it was really what you wanted to see. You didn't want to see the first half, but you really did want to see how they were able to take a punch and punch back.
When was the last time you saw a play as big as Javon Holland? Because they go in at 24-7, and game's over, and he makes – forced fumble, great play, something he's been works on all offseason. He talked about how much he worked on it during camp. To have that play, talk about game-changing play. I don't remember the last time I saw something like that at that time in the game, basically ready to go into the fourth quarter. And that play changed everything.
Yeah, 100%. And it doesn't matter if they don't get that next play, right? And to me, I mean, it's mind-boggling that After every single huge change of possession the Dolphins have in their favor, big momentum swing, they take a shot. They take a shot to Tyreek or Waddle. How are you not prepared for that?
Yeah.
Because that is exactly what Mike McDaniel does every time. All right, we got them on their heels. Let's bury them right here. And they dialed it up, and it was perfect. So, yeah, to your point about Javon, you can't say enough about how he's handled his contract situation. I mean, the poor guy's seen literally everyone in the organization get theirs except for him.
Yeah, right.
I mean, literally everybody's got
paid. We'll get to you. We didn't forget about you. All right. Hey, not now, though. Not now. Leave us alone.
Yeah. We'll see how the finances are in January, February, then we'll talk. I mean, it is a Mulligetta client, and we saw what Mulligetta did last year. Christian Wilkins, who bet on himself and went out and – and earn an insane amount of money. Maybe Holland's got that same plan, but I think the Dolphins would be very wise to figure out a way to keep him long-term because he is one of their best players.
Yeah, when we wait too long, it never works, right? Then all of a sudden we find out a guy in his mid-20s in his prime is worth a hell of a lot of money in the open market. It works out. No, I'm with you. Hey, Bees, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I'll see you tonight.
All right, enjoy the game.